Elizabeth Elliot says that restlessness makes us cynical. We need certainty, security, and that can only be found in God Himself because He's the one that's in charge of everything. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including God's Guidance, A Slow and Certain Light. Here's Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. This is God's word to us. He loves us, and underneath are His everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking again today with Arlita Winston. Arlita, I have so many questions I'd like to ask you, and we just don't have that much time. But say a good friend of yours who has got her first child comes to your house, and this child, let's say, is about 14 months or 18 months old, and doing all kinds of things that you would never let your children do. What do you do?
Well, I think I would gather that child up in my arm first and start to play with him and say very gently, no, we don't do that, but here, let's do this. Suppose they were reaching for my crystal candy dish on the coffee table, and I would just scoop them up. I wouldn't wait for the mother. The mother is sitting back in the armchair, ready to enjoy her cup of tea, and she's finally got a break in her life, and she's going to come and sit and have a visit with me, and she's not thinking about that child at all. So I have to keep my eye on that child. Besides, I know that perhaps she doesn't generally keep that child from touching anything anyway, and so I have to be even more alert and treat that child as though that child were my own. But I realize that gets us into a very sticky position with the mother sitting there where I'm telling the child what to do instead of the mother. So I think what I would do is I would first mention to the mother, would you mind, I really would rather this child not do this. If I let her do it, I would have to let all my grandchildren do it. And let me show you a way that we find works in our household. And then I would proceed to do what I would normally do with my own. But I would bring it to her attention that we just don't behave that way in my household. After all, it is my home.
I think one of the most important things about teaching children not to touch things, and I'm very much against child-proofing a house.
Mm-hmm, I am too.
Because one of the most important things is what happens when they go to the grocery store, mm-hmm. or what happens when they go to
Aunt
Susie's house or the grandmother's house. It's not child-proofed.
Right.
I have another question. Is it possible to teach children from the beginning to keep their voices down?
Not if you keep your voice up. I think that the child learns from the parents. And sometimes we as parents don't realize how the children are hearing us, and we'll raise our voices over and over again, and we'll get exasperated. And all we're doing is implanting into that child's mind that it's okay to do that. But then when they do it, we land on them like a ton of bricks. So I think the first question is, are we doing it? Are we throwing temper tantrums? Are we screaming at the children? When we want them to come down for supper, do we scream at them up to the second floor? Or do we walk to where they are? You could have a bell. And sometimes I would send a child with the dinner bell to call everybody. But to scream just invites them to scream back.
When children get excited in play, they often scream at the top of their lungs.
Right.
And my husband and I have many experiences of being in church basements when there's a church supper before or after a meeting where I'm speaking. It seems to be just the commonest thing that the children in the church are tearing around, mm-hmm. screaming their heads off.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think there may be a place for screaming, maybe out in the playground or in the backyard, but shouldn't they be taught to consider other people?
Well, yes, I think, though, that the adults need to do some organizing and planning to direct the children so that they don't just have a free-for-all.
The adults in the church, you mean in general, or do you mean the parents, at home?
The parents. They need to provide direction for the children at that time. you can always have activities with you. You could have little puzzles or little things to draw on, whatever. I used to carry these around with me everywhere so that if the children had to be quiet for a while and out of the way, there was something that they could occupy their minds with and their hands with. I can remember a time when my son Brad, who was that little boy that we talked about years ago sitting on the stool that I had to discipline so firmly for tearing his book. Well, now that Brad has 6 children of his own. And not long ago, I was with him and his wife down in Delaware. We were going into a decorator's shop because we were planning the decor for his medical office. He's a pediatrician down there. And I was appalled to think that we were going to have to take all 5 children, this is before they had their 6th, we had to take all 5 into the decorator's shop, and they were going to be there for 2 hours while Lisa and I selected colors and papers and pictures and et cetera, for Brad's office. I looked at them wide-eyed. I said, "You're going to take all 5 children with you?" And they said, "Of course, Mother." And so I swallowed hard, and I thought, boy, am I going to be able to pick out paper when I'm trying to watch these 5 grandchildren? And I thought, all right, let me see what happens. And we walked in there, and those 5 children, with just a look from their parents, sat down with their little satchels that they had had all prepared before they came on this little journey. Their mother knew that they would have 2 hours with nothing to do but sitting. And they sat there sprawled on the floor and occupied themselves with their books and their crayons and their paper and their scissors. And for 2 hours, we did not hear a word from these 5 young children who all were under the age of, well, at that time, 9.
Well, that is remarkable. And I'm sure that they didn't leave a big mess for the people that owned the store to clean up.
No, in fact, the lady who was helping us with decorating, she says, "I'm changing to this pediatrician."
That was great advertising.
But what was lovely, I thought, and what was so rewarding to me, was to see my son carrying out the same kind of quiet control with the children, and yet they didn't feel controlled. They were doing something that they really enjoyed doing. Sitting quietly doing it. They knew that when we got home, their dad was going to be out playing ball or doing something with them, something rowdy, something noisy, that they didn't have to stay quiet for the whole long day.
So they're not suppressed. And it's not cruelty to children.
Not.
In fact, I've discovered that children really do appreciate quietness. When my grandchildren come here, I always remind them, when you come to our house, we're not going anyplace. We are not taking you to any kind of entertainment, and there is virtually nothing to do in our house. We have about 6 toys, maybe, all together. And they all agree that they want to come to Granny's house. When I ask them why and remind them repeatedly about how little there is to do here, almost invariably they'll say, "Well, it's so quiet there. We like it there." Now, their home is peaceful, too, but there's a lot of coming and going when you've got 10 people mm-hmm. in a family. I think it's so important to teach children quietness, stillness, physical stillness, the lack of motion, mm-hmm. and the lack of noise, quietness.
And there's a balance to be achieved. When yes. I walk into Brad and Lisa's home with their 6 children now, there is a lovely balance of a great many activities going on, but there's organization, and there's a mother's hand behind it organizing so that certain ones are doing certain things and being at peace with each other.
Well, I saw the evidence of that in your family when those children were young. You had some teenagers then. But when you lived in that big house in Moorestown, New Jersey, you and I and Joe, your husband, sat in that little room with a fire by the fireplace mm-hmm. and talked until about 10 o'clock, at which point I looked at you. I realized that there were, 5 children mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. in the house, the oldest being about 15 mm-hmm, at the time.
Right.
I suddenly looked at you and I said, "Where are the children?" And you said, "What time is it?" And I said, "Well, it's 10 o'clock. And you said, "Well, then they're in bed." I said, "You mean to tell me that you don't have to put them to bed or tell them it's time to go to bed?" And you said, "No, they understand this." Then I discovered the next morning, when you told me that breakfast would be at 7:30, as we came down the stairs, you and I together, I assumed that you had been in the kitchen fixing the breakfast, but turned out you hadn't been. There were three children in the kitchen getting the breakfast. Somebody had set the table. Somebody was doing sausages. Somebody else had made the coffee. Somebody was cutting up the fruit. The order and the peace and the smooth running of oiled wheels in that household, I've never forgotten. And one of the reasons, when I asked you and Joe how you did it, you looked blank, and you said, how did we do what? Well, how did you create a home so peaceful and so well-ordered? And you said, well, Joe and I just sat down, and we talked about what kind of a home we wanted to have. And we just did it that way, which blew my mind. But then I remember Joe's remark. He said to me, I didn't want to hate my children. I did not want to hate my children. And if we had to wrestle and tussle and grapple every evening after supper to make them do their homework, to make them practice the piano, make them practice the flute, make them pick up their toys, make them go to bed, and then try to drag them out of bed in the morning, he said, I'd hate them.
Yeah.
I'd really hate them.
But that kind of commitment took dedication on both of our parts to be committed, knowing this was a very important thing in our lives for our children, to be responsive to us, because we also knew that this would teach them to be responsive to God. And we had to start really early, as early, I don't think I know how early it was. I just know it was very, very early to teach them responsibility, accountability. And I'm not saying that we did it all right. In fact, probably a lot of the things I learned from my mistakes. And by the time you have five, you've learned a thing or two.
Well, the fruit is there, the evidence is there in your children, and thank God they are passing it on to their children as well. So I just want our listeners to be encouraged to believe that God is going to help you. It is God who made you parents. It's God who created that child. God wants to help you. He loves to answer your prayers.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliot. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliot. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.